Simone Campbell, member of the community of the Sisters of Social Service, an attorney. She has served as the executive director of Network since 2004. Simone has extensive experience in public policy and advocacy for systematic change. In Washington, D.C., she lobbies on issues of peace building and economic justice. Formerly, Sister Simone served as the executive director of Jericho, an interfaith public policy and advocacy organization in California. As an attorney, she has represented low-income people for 18 years in California, where she founded a community-based law center. Simone has also participated in a delegation of religious leaders to Iraq in December of 2002, just prior to the war. Since returning, she has spoken and written extensively on her experience. She has also led her international community of women religious for 5 years. She is fluent in Spanish, and she is an accomplished poet. Friends, please welcome Sister Simone Campbell.
Dedicated to the Holy Spirit. And the way I explain this whole thing is by saying it's an explosion of the Spirit. And who knows where this is going? I don't. Each moment has been an amazing gift, just like our being here in Des Moines is an unexpected delight. We set out to start in Ames because we wanted to deal with Congressman Steve King, and it was as close as we could get. I love a political audience. I feel so Then we discovered we had to fly to Des Moines. But do you know, before we discovered that, I had gotten a call from the Fort Des Moines Hotel saying the manager, Jason Potter, really nice young man, at least I assume he's young, I haven't met him yet, called to say that the owner of the hotel had called him as soon as he had seen the New York Times article and said, offer the sisters a free room. Throwing in breakfast too, which is great. I have a hunch we're going to gain a lot of weight on this trip, but what we discovered, and then we were just going to slip into town and go. But some folks got wind of it, and they said, we got to start with a prayer service. Well, you got to be a part of it. Well, you got to walk it. And the gift of the Spirit that was given is this, which teaches me that to do this, whatever's happening, is that we have got to be open-handed and trusting everyone's intuition, and don't try to control this, because it's way beyond us. It is way beyond us. On April 14th, we had our 40th anniversary at Network. A big party, it was fabulous, we had a great time. Kathy Thornton, who many of you know from Mercies up in Cedar Rapids, came. She got there just in time to celebrate with us. We had this wonderful time. time. And one of the big questions was, how do we let people know about Network? How can we spread the news that we work on Catholic social teaching and care for the poor? How can we let our big nation know? So we had the ideas about we'd take out an ad in the NCR. Or we were going to ask a member to get another member. And we had some other little ideas, online petitions. We didn't have the Vatican on our list at all. When our little organization, I mean, we're 9 full-time employees, that's it, gets named by the Vatican, the big Vatican, as being trouble for LCWR, it was shocking, it was horrifying. It was 2 months ago tomorrow that it happened. And I must say that for Network, it's way easier than LCWR. And tonight, I think we have to hold in our hearts the Leadership Conference of Women Religious that are going to issue a statement tomorrow about their visit with Cardinal Levada in Rome, which doesn't look good from the outside. And so what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to be a public face for Catholic Sisters so that LCWR, so that the public could have a face, albeit mine, about religious life, because I find religious life such a gift and joy and fabulous, and give them the time to do the very private, intense work that they need to do. So I brought a few little show and tells. Some of you saw me on the Colbert Report on Monday night. You can Google it. It was so much fun. After I got over being nervous, they told me I wasn't supposed to be funny, and I have a very quippy sense of humor. So that was making me really nervous, because Stephen's, we're on first name basis now. Stephen's supposed to be the funny one. But he told me, he's such a nice man, he said, okay, my character is a conservative, curmudgeon, ignorant, and doesn't want to learn anything. So just push back. Which freed me up then, to just have fun. Now the other piece that people don't know about yet, probably this coming week, if you know the Colbert Report, you'll also know the Daily Show. Well, I taped a piece for the Daily Show that may show during this coming week with the reporter Samantha Bee. So I brought the jacket they gave me. Okay, what you have to know is it says Sista. Simone. Now the back is the best. Can you see? It says bad habits. Who would have thought it? I'm a humble girl from California. And here's this explosion of media attention. And so at Network, what we knew, or what I knew, was that to respond to this, we needed a bigger imagination. We had a 40-year-old imagination. And so I asked for help. And what I've come to ponder a lot is Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And you know what Jesus did to the outcast? He didn't say, oh, you go away, you're unclean, or didn't ignore her. He talked to her. Not only did he talk to her, but he asked for help. And so that's what I did, is I asked what's called, they're the outcasts, they're the big people in DC. We meet one every Tuesday night. It's sort of sacrificial offering for me to go to a meeting from 7 to 8 in the evening when I get up at 5 in the morning. So, but I asked him for help. And this group of 150 people, about 20 people immediately said, we'll help. And they came together and on the afternoon of April 14th, we had a brainstorming session and we came up with this idea for a bus trip. May 14th, holy moly. And they said, well, we got to start it soon because of the budget and because of this, that, and the other thing. And yeah, we could do it by June 18th. And we've been breathless ever since. I said we could only do it if we raise new money from new people, because our people who support Network are tapped out. In 10 days, I had a commitment for over $150,000. And for me, that was a sign of the Spirit. And here we are. June 6th, Lori Goodstein, who wanted to break the story in the New York Times, broke the story. I've been told that the New York Times never announces something that's going to happen. That's not news. But they did. Another gift of the Spirit. And then we have Des Moines, a gift of the Spirit here. We have a bus that is gloriously beautiful and a mistake. Because we had this big debate about what do you call our trip? And oh, there was all this ideas and blah, 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 blah. And we were worried about calling it Nuns on a Bus because it sort of sounded like Nuns on the Run. And we didn't like that image at all. So I made the firm decision. I said, we're calling it Nuns Drive for Faith, Family, and Fairness. Well, that was great. And then we told our designer that. Well, Stephanie, our communications person, did. But our communications person misunderstood and did this design that says Nuns on the Bus. And then our tagline is Nuns Drive for. And it turned out to be absolutely right. And the mistake is another gift of the Spirit. You cannot control what's happening. We cannot do it. But where our passion really gets generated is in what we can control in our electoral process. What we can control in what they're doing in Congress. The reason we're out around the country is because most people don't know what the House of Representatives has done. They've already done this. They passed Paul Ryan's proposed budget with hardly any change. Paul Ryan's budget, what he does is he likes to claim he's going to decrease the debt, but in fact, the Congressional Budget Office says he's going to increase the debt. Well, that doesn't sound good. Not only is he going to increase the debt, he's going to increase the debt by giving further tax cuts to the top 2% under the guise that those are the folks that make jobs. Now, I don't want to say anything, but those are the very same folks that have had that significant tax break for 10 years, and I have yet to see a job. Not only have I yet to see a job, I've yet to see any salary increases for folks who work so hard day in and day out. But what I have seen... But what I have seen are CEO salaries that continue to skyrocket. It's shocking that CEOs would get an increase when the very people who create their wealth don't. That's wrong in a nation that holds itself out as a democracy of we the people. And what Paul Ryan wants us to think, and what he says is, it's his Catholic social teaching that made him do that. His Catholic social teaching. If he had never uttered those words, I don't think we'd have a bus trip. He made me mad. And I'm a stubborn woman, sort of like Colbert. But what he did, what he's trying to hide from us, is he saying Catholic social teaching is all about the responsibility of the individual. It's just down to the individual to pull him or herself up by the bootstraps. But this is one place where Pope Benedict is on our side. Now, I have to confess, his encyclical, Charity and Truth, is a little boring to read, but when you get to the nuggets of it, what is said clearly in there is that you can only have individual responsibility as a keystone. If you have intense solidarity, If we are one in our spirit of community, if we know what each other needs, if we know and respond to the needs of the community, then we can have individual responsibility. And it's the role of government to counter the excesses of any culture. And in our culture of individualism, the role of Catholic social teaching is to counter that individualism with a keen knowledge of solidarity. And your bishop here, Bishop Pates, I understand, is because of his role with the International Committee, a policy committee for the bishops, is helping lift up the international solidarity. And it is true also domestically, statewide, citywide, countywide, parish. Our solidarity is what will keep us from slipping into isolation, loneliness, and depression. Because the only time we are fully human is when we're connected to each other. So Paul Ryan wants to do the following things, because it's just about the individual, you know. He wants to cut so much money from the food stamp program. Now, first of all, you need to know, most people on food stamps work full-time, okay? They work full-time, but they don't have enough money to pay for food for their kids. So really, in some ways, food stamp is more about a business subsidy, because it allows low-wage business workers to feed their families and continue working. But we call it charity, or the Republicans call it charity. They want to cut food stamps so badly that every church, synagogue, mosque, house of worship in the United States, every single one, will have to raise an additional $50,000 every year for 10 years to replace what he wants to cut. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's a great theory. There needs to be public-private partnerships. There needs to be collaboration because we are in solidarity. But this will not work. In Iowa, if you go on our website, nunsonthebus.org, this is why Nuns on the Bus was the right name and I had the wrong one, but nunsonthebus.org has all kinds of statistics for Iowa, but it includes things like he wants to cut $15 million out of the Iowa Head Start budget. $15 million over 2 years. Oh, 2 years. That means that 2,000 kids won't be able to go to Head Start. And we know Head Start is one of the best programs to get kids ready for school. It'll also result in the loss of 1,000 jobs. Oh, jobs, schmops. But we'll give tax cuts to the rich and they'll take care of that. Yeah, right. He wants to cut special ed. He wants to reduce educational services for the disadvantaged. 22,465 disadvantaged Iowa students will have their services cut by 2014. He wants to reduce the number of seniors and children on Medicaid. 329,000 Iowans. Then what do you do? More people without health care. He wants to end the small business tax credit, which we get at Network ourselves because we're a small business, but it would affect 41,000 Iowan small businesses. That sounds like a really great idea, doesn't it? He also wants to increase the cost of prescription drugs to seniors, that affluent group that always has a little extra cash. And that in Iowa itself, there would be 34.3 million fewer meals for low-income Iowan families. That's wrong. This is not our country. This is not we the people. This is not the Constitution that is based on the idea that all are created equal, right? It's not based on the Constitution that says, we know this, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, it ain't going to be perfect, but it's more perfect, we keep trying, to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and say what? Our posterity. That's who we're about. We need to invest for the future. We've benefited so much from the investment of our parents and grandparents. What are we leaving our kids and grandkids? I don't have kids, but you do. But I worry about that. So that brings me to the last point. The images in my prayer over this time. The first image that came to me was the burning bush. Remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? And Yahweh calls out to Moses and he says, come, take off your shoes. This is sacred ground. I probably should take off my shoes because this is sacred ground. But I won't. And what God says to Moses is, I have heard the cry of my people. My people are enslaved and without hope. I have heard their cry. And sends Moses to set them free. And I had this image that we are called to be this bush where God can flame up in our lives and we can set our people free. It's the work of God in us that can make the difference. It's God flaming up, giving light, and then a little bit of destruction. I hate to tell you that. When you got fire, there's a little bit of destruction. But if we're faithful to God in this process, we will not be destroyed. We will be enlivened. And look tonight. Look at this life that is being generated. Together we can be the burning bush. Together we can let God shine in our midst. And then, this 2 days ago, the image that came to me in prayer was, remember the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones? And Ezekiel walks in this valley of dry bones, and it's pretty grim. I have the vision of the Salvador Dali kind of painting, you know, that kind of weird, kind of surreal kind of thing. Ugh, it made me nervous. But then God says, prophesy that these bones can rise. And then they get sinew on them and they get skin and they kind of look human, but they have no breath and they have no hope. And what God says is, prophesy and breathe on them. And the breath of the Spirit gives them life and hope. And the powerful thing I'm discovering by this bizarro bus trip and by the Daily Show and Colbert Report, the foolishness for Christ's sake, is it gives breath, it gives hope, and laughter. Do you know Dante says that laughter is the language of angels? And so, my friends, we have serious work ahead. We cannot do this alone. But if we have each other, if we have each other's backs, if we are the bush that can let God flame up in our lives and go without control to 9 states and try to stay sane in the process, if we are free to let God be in our lives, if we are free to breathe on each other and bring out this hope, something new is going to come. I have no idea what it is. I had no idea we'd be here 2 weeks ago, but here we are. So, I ask you for a practical thing. We're passing around sign-up sheets, and the whole idea of sign-up sheets is to see who's willing to maybe be part of this community to move this forward. Our idea is we're going to scan them. I got a new scanner over at Staples. I hope it works. But we're going to scan them, send them back to my office in D.C., and we're going to put them in really quickly. I hope, if you write clearly. And then let you know who each other is here. And then see, can you support each other? Can you breathe on each other? Can you give each other hope? Because I want you to know one thing. Your presence here tonight, your breath here tonight, breathes on us and gives us hope. So we will have the stamina, we'll have the courage to keep going, because we know we have solidarity with folks in Des Moines and in all the other places that we're headed. I bet we find the same. And if we have solidarity, then we can each take responsibility to form that more perfect union. Right? Right. And let the people say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.